Hi everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca. For this episode, we have a very special guest with us, Sally Bibb. So welcome, Sally.
Good morning, hi.
Hi. So Sally Bibb is a leading figure in the Strengths Revolution. She is the founding director of Engaging Minds, a strengths consultancy that has achieved outstanding results for many well-known organisations. She is an award-winning author of 8 books, including the Strengths book and her most recent title, The Strengths Workbook. Her new book, The Strengths Workbook, follows the lead of Sally's previous book, The Strengths Book, to offer a tool to help individuals identify and nurture their strengths, helping them thrive in business and life. So the book is presented as an 8-week programme in the format of a journal, full of practical exercises to discover and develop your strengths. So Sally, so before we start talking about identifying your strengths and how we can sort of make the most of them, I want to go back to basics and ask you, how would you identify a strength and how would you identify a weakness?
Okay, so first let me say what a strength is. A strength is something that we're naturally good at, that we love doing, and most importantly, that we're energised by, as distinct from things that we might just have learned to be good at.
Sure.
For example, you might be a person who naturally connects with people. If that's not a strength, it's something that you can't really learn very easily.
Okay.
So the way I guide people on this is think about the things that you're really drawn to, the things that give you a buzz, the things that you rush into work thinking, oh great, I've got that to do today.
Yeah.
The things that aren't your strengths are the things that slightly drain you, that stay at the bottom of your to-do list, and that you just don't really enjoy and that you're not that much good at.
Okay. I mean, I have a question on the back of that. Do you think that you can have a strength that you get a buzz off but you're actually not that great at? And I'm thinking particularly about the X Factor. Some people think their strengths are singing, that's what they're passionate about, but actually maybe they're not that great at it.
That's a really good question, Christina. What comes to mind is a young man that I once spoke to who absolutely loved football. He wasn't all that good at it, he was quite mediocre. Turns out that what he really loved was he got a buzz from being part of a team. He enjoyed that camaraderie. He was a competitive person. So he didn't have much of a skill in football, but it was these other things that actually played to his strengths and his deeper motivations. And I should also say that our motivations and our values are our strengths too. So in the case of the X Factor, it could be that if somebody doesn't have a very good singing or performing voice, but they love them in the spotlight, they like to perform, they like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And I guess I want to go on to a question which is a very British question. So in our society, we're quite good at being very modest and not sort of saying what our strengths are. We don't like to talk about what we're good at. It could be seen as being kind of bragging or showing off. And I want to ask, how can we change that mentality and feel comfortable talking about our strengths and feeling kind of proud about them to others?
Very good question. Again, this comes up a lot when I'm working with people. It's a question of changing the way you think about it. So if we were working together, Francesca, and I didn't know your strengths and you were too shy to tell me about them and share them,
yeah,
then you wouldn't be serving me or the project that we're working on. So I try and get people to, instead of think about, well, I'm bragging, to think about, well, if people know my strengths, then I can best serve what I'm doing and best help other people.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. I guess you kind of have to be upfront if you don't know the person. Like, it's quite a hard thing to do, I guess, if you're trying to be, I guess, that classic British person who doesn't like to speak about it, but it's something that I guess we need.
That's right. And it can be the way you say it. So, you know, if I just met you for the first time, you know, I might say, look, you know, it's a bit awkward, this, isn't it? Because we're British and we're modest, but
yeah.
Just want to let you know that I've got particular strengths in these things. You know, so if I can contribute in any way with these things, then I'd be really happy to.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably the mindset behind it. You're probably right, yeah.
Absolutely is the mindset, yeah.
I have a question about sort of strengths in your lifetime. So I think, Do your strengths change over your lifetime? Because I can think of many things that I feel like I was great at when I was younger that perhaps I'm not now. So do we actively need to work on our strengths to keep developing them? Or can they just change over time?
So the neurobiology tells us that we pretty much are the person that we stay in our kind of mid to late teens. Sure, we develop our strengths and we add to our strengths by developing knowledge and skill in certain things, but fundamentally who we are as a person doesn't change.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, if you are somebody that loves to connect, you can often see that very early in children. If you're a competitive person, again, it's set early. You can't become a competitive person.
Yeah.
But what we can do is we can add skills and knowledge to develop those raw strengths, if you like. And I think it's true to say that sometimes people just get a bit bored with what they're doing. So even if it's something they're really good at, they might think, well, you know, I want to do something different now, because we do, many of us have very long careers. So I think the question is to just keep checking in with yourself, you know, does this thing still really give me a buzz? And it could be something in the environment or context that's changed that means that you're less energized by something than you used to be. For example, you know, if you're a person who's really great at explaining things, connecting with people, influencing people, and you've been in a sales role, and you might be getting, you know, after 20 years, you might be getting a little bit bored with that,
yeah.
But suddenly you're asked to join a political campaign, so all of those same sort of strengths and motivations are needed, but it's a different context, it's new, and it could give you an absolute boost to bring to play your strengths in a different arena. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So it's kind of taking your strengths into different environments so that they become new again, I guess.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and I think we, you know, most people don't actually know what their strengths are.
Yeah.
And in discovering our strengths and learning to, or actively and consciously using them, that can be very motivating.
And actually, yeah, talking about that, what would you say, I mean, apart from obviously reading your books, but what would you say the ways are to identify your strengths? Is there anything we can be doing?
Yeah, so as you say, there are lots of tests and questionnaires in the book. A few questions that you can ask yourself. What are the things that I was really drawn to when I was young? What are the things that people comment on now and say, oh, you're really good at that, can you help me? What are the things that, when you're doing them, don't really feel like a chore? I mean, I'm not saying they're not challenging or hard, but you really enjoy doing them.
Yeah.
These are questions that can help you to figure out whether something is something that you might be just good at and you've learned to do, versus, you know, it gives you that little bit of a lift in your heart when you're thinking about doing it.
Okay, no, I see what you mean. I mean, talking about both of your books, I mean, they give practical tips to identify your strengths, as you said, but it's very interesting that you also walk the reader through situations where they can apply their strengths, so looking for a new job or parenting or in relationships. But I want to ask you about using our strengths in our everyday life. So once we've identified them, how do we start putting them into practice?
The first step is really consciously thinking about them, and the strengths workbook is to help people, because it's an 8-week workbook, is to help people to get into the habit, and you know how important forming habits are.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting people into the habit of thinking, you know, perhaps in the morning, I've got this meeting, I've got this challenging situation, I've got this project, you know, which of my strengths can I really bring to bear consciously and stretch myself to do very well and to enjoy it? And similarly, let's not shy away from weaknesses, because we're all human, we all have weaknesses.
Yeah.
The question that I pose to people is, what are your weaknesses that matter in what you're trying to achieve or in your current role? Because there will be some. And then how can you mitigate those weaknesses by using your strengths, or by you know, asking a colleague who has some of the strengths that you don't? Let me give you an example of that. So you may be somebody who absolutely doesn't like being in the spotlight, that you feel you're not very good at giving presentations, and you avoid it if you can, and you let other people do that if possible.
Yeah.
And then you discover that one of your top strengths is that it's really important to you to make a difference. That can change everything, because suddenly you realise, actually, unless I'm prepared to stand up and talk to groups of people, it inhibits my ability to make a difference. That's really important to me. So it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, overcome your weakness and suddenly become a person who likes to be in the spotlight. But what it does mean is that it gives you the motivation to do something that previously made your heart sink, because you're now in touch with what really matters to you and what your strengths are.
Yeah, and I guess it's going back to sort of changing your mindset. It's sort of all about the way you're thinking about this. And I guess it is kind of, it's a practice, as you said, it's a habit to get into that we need to kind of keep up to keep developing it.
It is, Christina. I like the fact you keep bringing it back to mindset and the way you think about it, because it absolutely is. And, you know, we know that reflecting on what we're doing and how we're doing it is really important for developing ourselves. And one of the things I suggest in the book is that every Friday you just take a couple of minutes to think, well, you know, what did I really enjoy this week? What went well? And then, okay, so which of my strengths was I using in that scenario? And that question can help you to consciously use them and develop them. Okay, well, I can do that again next week, and I can do it better by perhaps doing it in this way, or bringing in some additional skills to whatever it was I was doing. So the distinction between the strengths, including motivations and values, that is, who are we as a person, and the knowledge we have and the skills we have, they're three distinct factors. The second two can obviously change, and the first one doesn't change all that much, but we can develop.
Sure. And I'm wondering, are there any classic obstacles you find when you're working with people that can stop them harnessing their strengths?
It's a very good question. I think the one you talked about earlier, the modesty, can be one. And that's why I head it off at the past and talk about, you know, changing your mindset about that. So you think about it as, I can't bring all of my gifts to the world, and I can't help people as much as I could if I stay in a modest space. What I find, though, is when people start to get an inkling of their strengths, it's incredibly motivating, confidence building for them. So it's almost like it's hard to hold them back once they know that knowledge. So the opposite is true. It's not difficult to encourage people to start really using them and celebrating them.
Yeah, it's quite exciting to think about.
It is.
I mean, well, let's talk about your latest book, The Strengths Workbook. So it's an 8-week program, and it aims to help us identify and develop our skills and strengths. So can you quickly explain to listeners what we can expect from this book? So what kind of exercises there will be, and what we'll get from it?
Yes, so you will get a little bit of background to understand the evidence behind strengths and why it's an approach that matters and will help you. Each week there's a theme and a few simple exercises each week. Don't take very long. Some people do it quicker than a week. One man told me he did it just in a couple of hours.
Okay.
So you can take as long or short as you want. But if you want to do it over 8 weeks, each week there's a theme, a few exercises, and some reflection. As the weeks build, your knowledge of yourself builds. So one week we look at values, one week we look at strengths and motivations and so on. And then by the end you have a strengths, personal strengths profile, and you have a strengths development plan. So it's very simple and easy to use, and you can start it at any time.
Yeah, and incredibly tailored as well, I guess, being is so interactive.
That's right, and what we're finding is that some people pick it up when they're thinking of changing jobs. Others are young people who are lacking in confidence or really don't know what choices to make in terms of their the subjects they want to choose or the university they want to go to. Other people coming to retirement want to do something fulfilling in retirement, but not really sure what, because it's hard to think of yourself differently when you've done, you know, one career all your life. So sure. Different ages and stages it applies to.
Yeah, and I guess with New Year here, it's kind of a good time to start getting on the 8-week programme. Start the new year as you mean to go on, I guess.
And start the new decade, Francesca.
Yes, sorry, I keep forgetting.
You know what? I've been working in this field for a while, and I'm going to go through it myself again, because I think it's always really good to remind ourselves of our strengths and to think about our current context and our goals and how they can help us with our goals. So it's something that you can revisit as well, you know, as many times as you like, really.
Yeah. And before I ask my last question, I want to ask you, what are your strengths?
My top strengths are connecting with people, wanting to make a difference, seeing the bigger picture and doing the right thing. I've got a very strong sense of justice, and that's definitely something that drives me. So the reason that I work in this field with people in prison, people in hospitals, people in business, education, young people, you can see how it really helps me to play to that strength, and it fulfills that need.
Yeah, definitely. And as we were saying, you're taking your strengths and putting them in the right environment to keep it new. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
It's all come together. Fabulous. Well, thank you, Sally. I want to ask, for anyone who wants to know some more about you and your work, where can they find you?
The business website is www.engagingminds.co.uk. My personal website, where you can find a lot more about my books, is www.sallybibb.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Sally, for joining us today. I think we all now need to go sit down and open the 8-week programme and get going. And thanks, everyone else, for listening. So don't forget to keep an eye on our social media, at Lid Publishing, on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, for more information about new books, experts' opinions, and of course, more podcasts with thought leaders such as Sally. So thank you, everyone, and see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.